Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current political, social, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. A wise man once said, shallow people talk about things, bitter people talk about people, great people talk about ideas, but greater people talk about God. Well, in this program, I talk about a lot of things, a lot of people, a lot of ideas, but ultimately, the goal is to talk about God, his character, his laws, his purposes, his plan. Last week, I learned a new title for my work. I am a task theologian. T-A-S-K, theologian. That's the title for Bible teachers who work on applying theology to one aspect of human endeavor. Such as you have James Dobson, who applies theology to child rearing, or Larry Burkett, who applied theology to finance, or William Wilberforce, who applied theology to labor and slavery. These are task theologians. We understand the concept, now we have a fancy title for it. If we need a verse on that, how about Isaiah 52:15? Thus my servant, he will sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths on account of him. For what had not been told them, they will see. And what they had not heard, they will understand. So we are tasked with the job of letting the nations know about the glories of Christ. Well, the big news, according to the voting tabulation, is that President Trump has lost the election. But as we predicted, the integrity of the vote is in question. All of the media outlets and the Democrats, but I repeat myself, are declaring Biden to be the president without the final tally and without any doubts as to the integrity of the process. Of course, they're not doubting the integrity because the votes right now favor their candidate. I mean, who protests the process if the outcome favors their party? Very few, if any. Now, on the political right, Trump supporters are very discouraged right now. Not just because their candidate, Donald Trump, didn't win. Not just because there might have been cheating in the voting. But this election reveals some very disheartening facts about the American public. Even if we discover Biden didn't get the majority of votes, this election was too close. Too many Americans preferred the pro-abortion, pro-LGBT, pro-gender choice, pro-socialism candidate over the conservative candidate. Even if the left cheated, the election should not have been this close to begin with. You know, it would be one thing if the left had a candidate who was articulate, young, handsome. You know, then we can understand the population being fooled. But they were willing to choose Biden. A man who's going senile, a man who has serious allegations of moral and financial corruption, with a running mate who's considered the most left-wing senator in Washington. And yes, Donald Trump is not the most tactful candidate, but given the social moral issues at stake, Trump's personality should not have mattered all that much. That is, if Americans had some strong moral convictions for the defense of the baby in the womb, and the defense of biblical sexual morality. The problem is not a failure in political campaigning or getting the message out, but that our nation is given over to immorality. As in Jeremiah 23, the land is full of adulterers, for the land mourns because of the curse. The pastures of the wilderness have dried up. Their course also is evil, and their might is not right. For both prophet and priest are polluted. Even in my house I have found their wickedness, declares the Lord. Therefore their way will be like slippery paths to them. They will be driven away into the gloom and fall down in it. For I will bring calamity upon them, the year of their punishment, declares the Lord. We are living in days similar to those of Jeremiah's day, the days before judgment fell upon Judah, southern Israel. And we're living in days similar to those of Hosea, the days before judgment fell upon northern Israel, Ephraim. Hosea chapter 4, verse 2, there is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore, the land mourns and everyone who lives in it languishes. Those on the right want a civic leader who follows traditional American values, but they often forget that the personal lives of the citizenship don't match a righteous leader. They don't deserve a righteous leader. What we really deserve is a leader who will bankrupt the country and legalize what people want to do so that they will be destroyed by their own corruption. God even had to come to Jeremiah and tell him not to pray for the continuation and the blessing on the nation, because despite the optimism of Israeli patriots, the nation was too corrupt. Even the prophet Jeremiah needed to get out of his ivory theological tower and look at what was happening on the streets, in the culture. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 16, God says to Jeremiah, "As for you, do not pray for this people, and do not lift up cry or prayer for them, and do not intercede with me, for I will not hear you. Do you not see what they're doing in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem?" And then God goes on to describe the idolatry of the people. So if we want an honest assessment of America, just look at the movies on Netflix, the TV sitcoms, the music young people are listening to. It's all godless. New Jersey just passed legalized marijuana. One of the members of my church said that all the women in her office voted for it because it would bring in more tax revenues for the state. There was no thought of the devastating effects of normalizing marijuana, especially among young people. There were no moral convictions expressed against people getting high, what the Bible calls drunkenness. But this lack of moral understanding is no surprise. Less than 5% of the population in New Jersey attends church. The Lord's Day is just another day to worship self and pleasure. So what makes us think that the people would vote for a righteous law? Now, the conservative rallies taking place in America, the Trump rallies, they look great. But they are not spiritual revival. Jesus Christ is not being preached, and supernatural conversions are not taking place. We're not having a great awakening like in America's past. The first great awakening in America was in the 1700s. Then there was a second great awakening in the early 1800s. And then a third great awakening after the Civil War. Massive evangelistic meetings by D.L. Moody and other evangelists. But the awakening we're having right now is being called an awakening. It's being called being woke. Don't miss the use of the language here. Being woke is an imposter awakening. It is not an awakening to righteousness, but it's waking up to the ideology of Satan. That all the problems in America are due to Christian values. We need a new America that embraces the philosophy of racism and sexual freedom and Marxism. So it doesn't look good for America. We can get all caught up in this message of make America great or keep America great. And of course, we should communicate those conservative values embodied in that slogan. But don't think for a minute that the public will understand or take that offer. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand by the way and see, and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. The people did not have a desire for the values and the ways of the past because they had departed from their belief in God and their belief in his law. Therefore, Jeremiah 6, 19, hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing disaster upon this people, the fruit of their plans, because they have not listened to my words. And as for my law, they have rejected it also. Again, those on the political right have been disappointed and surprised by the election results, but don't be surprised. Jeremiah 7:17, do you not see what they're doing in the streets? I think we really get a much better assessment of our national future if we listen more to the biblical prophets than to the political pundits. The biblical prophets emphasize that the cure for the nation would be judgment, where the nation would no longer have a righteous king like King Josiah, but God would replace Josiah with the ungodly king Zedekiah, who would run the nation to the ground and bring judgment upon the people. Zedekiah is that king who took the word of God, ripped it up with a penknife, and threw it into the fire. Jeremiah 36. Well, this message of the true prophets of God, the message of judgment, wasn't really popular with the people, both on the right and the left. I was in a Zoom call recently with an activist minister who I greatly respect. And he was explaining how Trump was still going to win the election because he was God's man for the office. All of the signs pointed to the fact that God wants Trump to be the president. And it was almost as if he gave a prophecy that in January, Donald Trump will still be sitting in the Oval Office. I didn't say anything, but I wasn't that optimistic. Because, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, it does seem as if God set up Trump to be a break on leftism, but we don't know all of the factors that God knows. God may have planned for Trump to be a one-term president just to test America or to give America that choice. This is why I don't predict elections, because God always has the element of surprise. Only God knows what a nation needs, whether people need to get what they deserve or whether they need undeserving grace. And a righteous ruler is always undeserving grace. So after everything I've just said, it might seem as if I'm conceding to the left the defeat of President Trump. But my only point has been that our nation is corrupt, so don't be surprised if we get a poor leader, someone who will drive the nation off the cliff. But let me say this, let's not jump to conclusions. The election is not over yet. We ought not to assume that Trump has lost. God may still have a final word. And so the point I want to conclude with is that God may be using the events before us to expose more corruption in our nation. On election night, Trump was ahead and he was the likely winner. But what if the nation discovers that the final votes gained by Biden through mail-in ballots, counted later that night, was fraught with cheating? Now, as it stands now, Trump is behind 17,000 votes in Arizona, 11,000 votes in Georgia, 34,000 in Nevada, and 45,000 in Pennsylvania. If Trump wins Georgia and Pennsylvania, in either Arizona or Nevada, he wins the election. That is, if we discover that those extra votes for Biden were fraudulent. The bad thing about mail-in voting is that it's subject to so much fraud. It's easy to send in a fake ballot. It's a whole lot harder to send fake people to vote in person. But the good thing about mail-in ballots is that there's a paper record. Each ballot can be checked for its proper address, proper signature, whether the voter is still alive, whether he's a resident of that actual state. Now, various researchers are pointing out that there are enough dead voters voting, enough out-of-state voters voting, enough non-citizens voting to eliminate Biden's leads. All there needs to be is an auditing of the ballots. And then what are those in the Democratic Party going to do? But I want to point out here that there may be corruption on a grander scale, which still needs to be exposed. Not just a matter of late ballots that shouldn't be counted. Corruption where entire bags of ballots were created by Antifa-like Democrat operatives, where these operatives said, you know, tell us what the total is Tuesday night. Tell us how many votes you need, and we'll get them for you. Don't be naive. This actually happens in politics. Don't underestimate evil. Remember the story that broke in the New York Post back in August? A top Democrat operative and a Bernie Sanders supporter told the newspaper he had been submitting thousands of fraudulent mail-in ballots over the last several decades. The anonymous operative was checked out by the Post, and he is a real person who has worked on many campaigns in the Northeast. And don't forget that back in 1970, Bernard Nathanson, who co-founded NARAL, the National Association for Repealing Abortion Laws, admitted that they knew if true polls were taken, they would be defeated. So they simply made up polling results, that the public favored abortions and the media believed these fake polls. Because the media never suspected that a national organization would make up polls out of thin air. Nathanson writes, "We announced to the media that we had taken polls that 60% of Americans were in favor of permissive abortions. This is the tactic of a self-fulfilling lie. Few people care to be in the minority. We arouse enough sympathy to sell our program of permissive abortions by fabricating the number of illegal abortions done annually in the United States. The actual figure was approaching 100,000, but the figure we gave to the media repeatedly was 1 million. And this story is all covered in David Kupelian's book, The Marketing of Evil, and in his follow-up book, How Evil Works. Those books are required reading if you want to get your head out of the sand and see how much lying is going on in politics. And don't forget that there were seasoned, respectable politicians who created this lie that Trump colluded with the Russians. Congressman Adam Schiff got on national news saying he had the evidence, but he never had the evidence. These politicians were lying with a straight face. Psalm 116:11, I said in my alarm, all men are liars. Psalm 58:3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. These who speak lie go astray from birth. 1 Samuel 15, King Saul lied to the prophet. Samuel came to Saul and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have carried out the commandment of the Lord. But Samuel said, what then is the bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Or how about the false prophet in 1 Kings chapter 13? The false prophet said to the true prophet, I also am a prophet like you, and an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord. But he was lying to him. Wow, he seemed to be an honest clergyman. I mean, why would he lie? But people tell lies. And the old adage is so true. How can you tell when a politician is lying? Because words are coming out of his mouth. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 3. They bend their tongue like their bow. Lies and not truth prevail in the land. For they proceed from evil to evil. And they do not know me, declares the Lord. Let everyone be on guard against his neighbor. And do not trust his brother. Because every brother deals craftily. And every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. Everyone deceives his neighbor and doesn't speak the truth. They have taught their tongues to speak lies. They weary themselves committing iniquity. And Romans chapter 3, verse 13, the great text explaining the human condition. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips. Evil people will lie and know it. And people who are relatively good but are not truly godly will believe the lie of evil. Only a few Christians who understand human depravity are aware of how pervasive lying is. The righteous king described in the Psalms is one who is not naive, one who is not taken in by the lies of the wicked. Psalm 89:22, the enemy will not deceive him, nor the sons of wickedness afflict him. Psalm 63:11, but the king will rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him will glory, for the mouths of those who speak lies will be stopped. This week I've been reading Uncle Tom's Cabin by Harriet Beecher Stowe, written in 1852. The complaint of the pro-slavery crowd at that time against Beecher Stowe's book and why it was banned in many states is because they alleged that she was exaggerating the plight of slaves, that slavery wasn't as bad as the book depicted it. But in reading the book, I found that she wasn't exaggerating slavery in the least. If anything, she was holding back, granting slaveholders some concessions. The slaveholders were liars, and they didn't like the truth brought out. So they banned her book. And the same is true of the pro-abortionists today, because they are, in effect, identical to the slaveholders of the past who are claiming that certain people are not people. The abortionists, the sexual immoral, are all liars, and they will cheat in an election. Don't be naive. Now, what we're seeing on the news among the Democratic news pundits and politicians is a denial of voter fraud. And it's really a denial of sin and human depravity. It's a big lie that's overtaken America right now. That there are no lies on the part of the left and there's no significant voter fraud in elections. Yeah, I see this as the spiritual lesson being put before us right now. On Twitter, President Trump tweets about the corruption in mail-in ballots and he is being censored. And this is not just happening to the president. Individuals on Twitter and Facebook are being censored if they put forth theories about corruption in the election process. These social media platforms are so much in denial about people's propensity to lie and cheat, they believe removing these stories of corruption is removing fake news. Jeanine Pirro's Sunday night program, Justice with Judge Jeanine on Fox, was not aired because she was doing a program talking about cases of voter fraud. And we know why Fox is doing this, because they trust the election results. They believe that Biden has won, and they don't want to look like conspiracy theory nuts doubting the system. The spirit of the age has so enveloped these people that they don't believe that people lie and cheat. The error is people are in denial in regard to human depravity and sin. Some because they want to keep the cheating undercover. Others just because they're naive concerning their own sin and the sin of others. Now, many people are starting to say we should just let go of this election. Trump should concede defeat. I mean, after all, what difference does it make? Biden probably won the popular vote anyway. Well, challenging this election may be a real eye-opener for the American public. Just like the Russian collusion scandal turned out to be a huge hoax, just like the Ukrainian phone call scandal turned out to be a hoax, and just like many other accusations against the president turned out to be lies, this election may also be exposed as being one big fraud. The Democrat vote-by-mail push was likely not about the virus, but a way to manipulate the vote. So let's be thankful for and pray for all the investigators who will be examining these ballots. Pray that evil will be exposed. As Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, but there's nothing covered up that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be made known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light. And whatever you've whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. We pray for that end. And the sooner, the better. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The radio website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube channel for the video version of this program is God and Country Biblical Exposition. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we pray that you would providentially cause the evil that is hidden in darkness to be shouted from the rooftops. Remind the nations that they are but sinful men in need of a Savior. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.